buck stops here. Fridays at 10:50, it's Ranger Manager Buck Showalter with Norm Hitzkus. Brought to you by Discount Tire and Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
The rant will be at JR's Custom Auto at Airport Freeway in O'Connor in Irving this Saturday from 10 until noon. You can register to win ticket t-shirts and a $30 speed zone certificate, and they'll have a couple of very foxy ticket chicks out there. So go see the rant, JR's Custom Auto, Airport Freeway in O'Connor in Irving.
Big shout out to Celeste M. Her husband's out here drinking. Oh, he's drinking. Oh, is he?
And what's she got? 4 months of hardline shows on her computer?
Yeah, she records us every day. So shout out to Celeste, and well, your husband's going to come home very drunk tonight.
By the way, a guy came out here and brought by a copy of the first Journey album on vinyl. And take a look at the look Neil Sean is throwing down there. Look at that afro. This is the one with them kind of floating in the air on the Moonscape cover.
Yeah. I knew they always had a big giant afro, but that right.
Have you boys seen this?
You know what that
you
looks
seen
like?
This, Danny?
That doesn't look like hair. That looks like a hedge.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, he needs an echo to trim that.
Hello, are we on the air?
You are on the air, Mike.
Okay, great.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, joining us now up in the studio is the old 97. Greetings, men.
Hello. Hello, hello.
How are we?
We're doing good.
Great.
Who do we have up there today in view of the fact that we're out here and you're up there and never the twain shall meet, it seems?
We have Ken and we have Rhett, but we could not find Philip, who is... lives in Lake Highlands. I don't know where he was.
The notorious flakiness of drummers.
Yes. And Murray is in California, so we just have Ken and Rhett.
So it's just Ken and Rhett.
Just Ken and Rhett.
Well, you know what? That's really all we wanted. We damn sure didn't want Murray in there.
Oh, come on now.
We damn sure didn't want him
it's
in there.
Boyd Yellow Jacket.
We can only take one guy from Boyd per show. So, and I'm taking that up, so. I'm glad to have Ken and Rhett in there.
Did you hear us playing your laps earlier?
Oh, when I got tickled that time down here?
Yeah.
What was up with that?
Listen to how goofy Ken's little laughs are.
And we're searching.
You can find them.
And dig in.
Today.
KB.
I could just tickle him right now.
Here we go.
Listen to that retard laugh.
Boy, it is, man.
East Texas laugh.
Listen to Grego.
Is that Beavis or Butthead?
I can't remember what we were laughing about.
Chicks.
That's something to do with girls.
Well, that's a girl laugh.
Hey, speaking of that, Neil Sean gave us a few pretty good ones yesterday, too, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, we had Neil Sean on.
Really?
You know that big concert that's in town this weekend?
Yeah.
That
yeah.
big Eric Clapton thing? So Neil Sean came on to plug it. Talking about how he was 15 years old playing with Santana.
Yeah.
Well, he had his choice in one night. He could either play with Derek and the Dominoes or Carlos Santana.
That's he picked strong. Santana, didn't he?
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
I get like him, a do-over on that.
I saw him and Santana on the bill at a Texas Jam in 1983.
Neil Sean?
Well, Journey.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was there.
I was there for Joan Jett.
Joan Jett.
She was awesome. And I was going to try and meet her. I was in love with her, and I had her 8x10. I was on crutches because I was sick. And
is this Rhett talking?
Yeah, this is Rhett.
Oh, okay.
And I was going to try and meet her, and I was backstage with one of the reps, and I was waiting for her, and she was walking out to the stage surrounded by big, burly dudes, and I pushed through with my little crutches. And my line, when I finally got my chance, was, "Are you Joan Jett?" She said yes and kept walking.
I got no autograph.
That's like when I asked Michael Stipe, when I got engaged at y'all's show in Athens, and I saw him at dinner, and I was like, "Hey, man, what's going on?" I followed him in the bathroom at this restaurant. I was like, "Hey, man, what's going on?"
And
he was on the phone. He was like, "Well, I'm on the phone." I was like, "Okay, I'll see you."
Boy, he's at it again, isn't he? Or was that a drop?
The genius of the devil psycho.
Oh, okay.
All right, so new record.
Yeah. July 25th.
What's it called?
Drag It Up.
Drag It Up?
Drag It Up.
Drag It Up.
A lyric from one of Murray's tunes called Smokers.
Yep.
And are we extremely excited about this one?
Pretty excited.
It was inseparable from the...
Oh. the smoker woman.
They were inseparable.
The woman? She smokes.
And precisely what is it that excites us about this, as opposed to other old 97's projects?
One of the crazy things about it is that we recorded it a la 1964 on 8 tracks. So everything's pretty much live, and it was all done at sort of once, and every vocal is one take, as opposed to the normal way people do it now, where they take a bunch of vocals and make the best one out of all of them. And it's pretty cool. And because it's been a couple of years since we put out a record, so that alone should make you excited.
Okay,
right?
No. Why would
we're not talking about us being excited. We're talking about you being excited.
Okay.
So why would you do it on 8-track? I mean, did you just kind of wanted to get back in time or something?
Yeah, because your brother Murray Hammond got this idea that the only way a good record could be made here in the new millennium was by making it on rickety, old, crappy equipment.
Well, you know what? He was educated in Boyd, okay?
Exactly.
Do not forget that.
But what does it say about us that we let him lead?
Yeah. Well, so that means you're probably from East Texas.
We're lower. We're lower on the ladder than he is.
I kept saying there's a reason they invented new technology.
Yes. So it was kind of hard. I mean,
and he would have none of that, huh?
No, he said that's the only way we can do it. So we did it. We followed his lead, and it's made a cool record. It was kind of hard to do at times. You just, you know, a lot of you guys are musicians, and you have to play things right instead of faking it. So you know, so we did a lot of that. But I am kind of proud of it now because I know that I, you know, pulled off some cool parts and did them straight and didn't do any very little trickery.
All right, so the last album, Satellite Rides,
yeah,
which I thought was great. I thought that was y'all's best record.
Yeah.
You like this one as much?
I actually have that one.
Or do you? Is it
Murray gave it to me.
Is it so different to even compare it to anything else?
It's hard for us because, you know, we're just finished making it. We got no objectivity.
Yeah.
You know. I'd rather go online and read some chat room and see whether it's better or not.
I like
actually,
it as
I would
much.
Not rather do that.
it's different because, like, the thing on Satellite Rides is it was really... as good as we can do. There's a lot of perfection, kind of. I mean, we worked out all the kinks, and we played.
Like you really tried to get it right. Huh?
We tried to get it right. We did over and over. We worked it, did it on Pro Tools, which meant, you know, there's a million guitars and a million vocals on every track. And we met because we had never made a record like that, and it was fun, and I like it like that. But this record's not like that at all. So it's different. I mean, this is a lot more just like what we would sound like just playing in a room. We're just, you know, and nailing the song properly, but playing in a room.
This is Rhett and Ken of the old 97s with us on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. Now, Rhett, did you write all the tunes on this?
No. In fact, there is even more contribution from the other band members on this one as we let Ken sing one of his songs on the record.
Really?
Yes.
Well.
Yeah.
Hope you didn't let him laugh on it.
And there's a couple of great Murray songs. In fact, the two Murray songs on the record are two of my favorite songs he's ever done. So.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, so let's listen to, what do you want to hear first? You want to hear...
Are you guys going to do this live, or are you going to play it?
We're going to play a couple of tracks off the CD now, and when we take our break, we'll get them set up in the live room, and they'll come back and perform live.
Okay.
So what do y'all want to listen to?
The new kid.
Start them off, right?
Number 9, yeah.
Number 9?
Yeah. I want to hear Ken sing.
Hey, you'll
oh, you will.
Lower the hard line a little bit.
That's Murray playing bass.
The new kid, he's got money, the money I deserve. He's got the goods, but he's not good for his work. I should be rolling in it. I've been at work and stir. As for the justice, no one knows where.
That is good. That's really good.
Ed Rhett has an incredible voice.
Damn, thank you.
That record does, it sounds old. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
That sounds really cool. I like the way that sounds a lot.
Now, are you going to be pushing that song?
That is the single.
Is it really?
The first single, yeah. And there's
actually a
radio remix of that that sounds slightly less old. But it's still, it is what it is. You can't really...
Yeah, they're still remixing 8 tracks, so, you know. Yeah.
All right, do we want to hear Ken's song?
Let's listen to Ken's, yeah.
And then we'll send them off to the studio to play?
Yes.
All right, now, is there a story behind this?
There actually is. I wrote this song before we made the old 97s. And I wrote it, and I was kind of excited about it. I had been going to Mexico, a song about Mexico. And I had just met Rhett, and we went to, every year Torelli's has a big Halloween party. And I went, and he and I had just played guitars together a couple times. This is the fall of 92. And I go to this party with him, and I was pretty excited about my song. And I go, hey, I wrote a song today. He goes, remember, I'm 8 years older than him. And he looked at me, and he said, oh, yeah? What's the hook? And I said... I think it's, I didn't know what a hook was, by the way. I said, I think it's, I'm suffering from a kind of indecision about what I want to watch on television. And he said, yeah.
All right, what's it called?
It's track 5. It's
Coahuila.
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 I turned my microwave on and I cooked my chicken ravioli. Last 10 years of my life, I've been feeling kind of lonely. I don't do love, I don't do women named Hannah, and I don't do red-haired girls from Louisiana. I'm suffering from a kind of indecision about what I'm gonna watch on television, and I'll dream the night.
Like a Zydeco Beach Boys.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Now, you wrote that in 1992?
Right.
So what happened to that? I mean, did that just kind of go away, and how did it get dredged up for this project?
Dredged? It just really has been sitting around, you know. I don't know.
How songs are. Frequently, yeah. If you write them, nothing happens to them. They just kind of go away, and you have to dredge them up if you're ever going to do anything with them.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I hadn't done anything, and really, we started the band, and I was busy trying to learn to play lead guitar for 10 years, 8 years, whatever it was.
And now that he's mastered that.
And then when Rhett went to do his, as you prophesy, solo record, put together a band here in Dallas called the Scrap Hotel. We played about 20 times, and mm-hmm. that was one of our songs.
So that song has seen the light of day since then.
Yeah, we just, you know, not like a record or
anything.
Okay,
all right, just, good enough.
It's a cool song.
Thank you.
All right, so now we're going to string together a scene where you boys play down in the live room for us, right?
Yes.
Real live music.
Excellent. That will be next here on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket with The Hardline and the Old 97s.